All right. Good afternoon, and welcome to day three of our Technology Outlook Week. If you've been enjoying this week's sessions, thanks for attending. And if you've had half as much fun listening to these sessions as we've had bringing them to you, then we've had twice as much fun bringing them to you as you've had listening to them. So anyway, if you are joining us for the first time today, welcome. Just to recap the week so far, on Monday, Elizabeth Gooding gave a thorough rundown of production inkjet systems. And yesterday, Pat McGrew provided a pretty encyclopedic look at software and workflow solutions. And both of those session archives are available on the What They Think webinar site. Just go to whatthethink.com/webinars, and you can download both slides and audio for both of those sessions. Today's session, sponsored by Fujifilm, Heidelberg, and Kodak, looks at labels and packaging, and I'll be joined in a moment by David Zwang. But first, just a few of our usual little housekeeping items, and if you've been listening all week, you can probably recite along with me. We'll be answering your questions. Oh, next slide, please, Dave. We will be answering your questions during this 30 to 45 minute session. The Q&A box is at the bottom of your screen. Feel free to ask a question, and as always, we will respond as soon as it is asked, or hold it until the Q&A session at the end of the presentation. And also, please type your question in the box rather than raising your hand, because I still have yet to figure out how that works. Out of respect for everyone's time, we try to keep these sessions at 45 minutes. We're more successful sometimes than others. So any questions we do not get to during this session, we will be answering them offline, and we'll post them on the What They Think Technology Outlook page. As I mentioned, this session is being recorded, and you will be able to download today's presentation, which should be up on the webinar archive by the end of business today. Today's session is sponsored in part by Fujifilm, who has a number of solutions for the packaging market. State-of-the-art water wash Flenex FW plates reduce total plate making processing times, 3 times faster than solvent and 1.5 times faster than thermal. That translates to a dramatic decrease in your time to press without the need for duplicate plates. Fujifilm's 300 series UV Flexo inks are designed to be used with all common Flexo substrates. These inks offer the ability to cure under either traditional UV or LED lights with the same ink. The 300 series offers superb dot reproduction, maintains crisp print definition, sharp copy, and clean reverses without the gain typical of water or solvent-based Flexo inks. And Fujifilm's Illumina UV LED curing system features the industry's only print technology without heat, and the unique patented design reduces energy usage by 50% more than conventional LED systems. Pair Illumina with Fujifilm's 300 series UV Flexo inks, and you'll be able to run your press faster thanks to the superior ink adhesion and drying power. For more information, visit FujifilmPackaging.com, and we thank Fujifilm for helping us bring this session to you today. And now, telling you all about the transformation in packaging is David Zwang. Off you go, David.
Thank you, Richard, and welcome, everybody. Glad to be here and speaking with you. Of course, it would have been nicer in person, but this should work. So what we really want to talk about today, and you know, I've got a roughly half an hour, 45 minutes, so there's no way I can talk about every piece of equipment that exists that's new, that's exciting. But I think that one of the things we probably can do, and that I'm going to do today, is talk about, first of all, the trends that are driving a lot of the transformation in technology, because at this point, I know that everybody's excited about technology. Everybody loves shiny new things, but the reality is that they're there and they're developed for a reason. So let's start talking just a little bit here, and then we'll start showing pictures and lots of good equipment and stuff. First of all, when we look at packaging, you know, the first thing we have to do is we have to look at the consumer. And the consumer and distribution behavior has been changing. And, you know, even putting the pandemic behind us, which would be a really nice thing to do at this point, but putting that behind us, just consumer behavior has been changing. More stuff's moving online. And by the way, this is globally, not just in the US or in Western Europe. Globally, it's moving more online. People are doing more, gotta love this acronym, BOPIS, buy online, pick up in store. And a lot of people are doing that. And I think increasingly, especially in the with the restrictions that many of us are going through, there will be more of that happening. We're still seeing a lot of big box growth in big box stores, and that's driving certain types of requirements for packaging. shelf-ready packaging. So if you're working in a grocery store, now instead of a guy sitting there and unpacking boxes, he just takes the corrugated, cuts off the top part of it. It is basically what goes up on the shelf, and he's got the package there along with some interesting advertising. So, you know, you start to look at a lot of those things. And of course, we can't forget sustainability, because the environment is, as we very well know, fairly fragile and seems to be shifting on a dime at this point. So these types of behaviors actually affect packaging and affect how we have to look at packaging. And we'll talk about some of that in a short bit. People are also looking for more personal experiences. This whole concept of mass customization, where, you know, we're getting, I don't just want Tide detergent, I want the special Tide detergent that smells like flowers on a Thursday. And that's just big, you know, it's available for you. If you want it, it's there. And then of course, personalization, which we see some of, not a lot. Mass customization is probably more of what we see, which has a tendency to drive a lot of the short runs. And all of these different things really drive the technology development. So if we look at technology development, and we will be, what are the two big issues? What are the two big areas? And I guess one of them, of course, is digitization. A lot of the technology that exists, the press technology, the finishing technology, et cetera, is really moving more towards digital. It's moving from away from analog towards digital. But even the analog technologies are digitizing. And we'll talk about some of that as well. And then, of course, Industry 4.0, which basically means everything's talking to everything. And there is a an increased demand for the entire value chain, from customers through consumer product companies, through the converters, the service providers, to actually begin to communicate and have their systems communicate, so that there's less time on the phone and through emails. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about analog presses, which sounds, they sound silly. Okay, well, let's start with flexo plates, because the reality is when we start talking about packaging, we have to talk about flexo, because flexo is still the predominant platform, print platform for packaging. And I don't care whether it is labels, or it is flexible packaging, or it is corrugated, or it is folding cartons, flexo is still the king. Now, why is it the king? It's the king primarily because it costs less. It's much more productive. Until recently, and I'm not going to say it's not like last Thursday, but you know, over the course of the, up until about 8 or 10 years ago, flexo was pretty much down and dirty. And if you look at a lot of the packaging that you see on the shelves today, you'll notice that it actually looks much nicer than it did before. And it's not because it's really being done on inkjet, which maybe some people think. It's because flexo technology has actually gotten better. And it's gotten better for a lot of reasons. It's gotten better because of the plates themselves. The development in plate technology has been significant. Screening technologies that actually help better control, just as we did with offset for years and still do, that help better control the actual laydown of the inks on various surfaces. The surface of the plate in its ability to be able to release the ink onto the surface without having to squish it down, which is what flexo plates historically did. And that's why they always looked kind of fuzzy. So you've got the surface of the plate, which is easier to work with now. It's got better performance, better release. You've got screening, which actually gives us better image control. Plate making has gotten a lot better in terms of with flexo now, through through digitization. And processing is moving more towards a more sustainable method. A lot of processing, flexo plate processing now is happening through aqueous solutions, which is great because it's great for the environment. It's less cleanup, and you know, in the long term, it's gonna help everybody. And I know, as Richard mentioned before, things like LED curing, which actually, instead of using, you know, the halide LEDs for UV inks, if there is UV inks, you can use a nice LED, which is a significant reduction in energy requirement. So, you know, you start to look at trends like this in terms of Flexo. We're improving quality, we're looking at sustainability, and it's kind of going in the right direction. In terms of Flexo equipment, some of the other things that are happening, because we're trying to increase the quality level of Flexo, in addition to the plates and the screening, et cetera, from a registration standpoint, you know, depending on what kind of materials we're putting through, there's been an increase in development in central impression imaging. So, you know, where you've got actually have the imaging engines sitting around a single central drum. So instead of having to worry about the transport maintaining register on a medium that may be moving. And don't forget, for you know, like for flexible packaging, we're talking about printing on a variety of different types of plastic substrates. For paper, for labels, we're printing on substrates. We're laying down something that's got a lot of fluid on it, and it has a tendency to move and pick up that media and stretch it. So things like that, they can be overcome through CI imaging, better, you know, quicker make readies, auto impression. But it's not just about CI. As a matter of fact, one of the other things that's happening in Flexo because of digitization is Flexo, even in a inline transport, and this is an inline a view of an inline transport system, and a lot of the Flexo systems you see are going to are inline systems. These happen to be from BOPS. Again, it doesn't really matter. This is not about a specific manufacturer through this thing. I just tried to pick up some good representative examples. But so here's a great example of a Flexo solution that was designed to deal with short runs. Why do we need to deal with short runs? Well, again, we're looking at mass customization. We're dealing, you know, yeah, personalization, as I said before, but really mass customization, and we want control. So how do we do that? Well, we need to be able to shift colors or shift jobs rather quickly. We need to maintain great color consistency. And through the use of digital technology, here you've got a system where in less than a minute, you can actually change from one job to another on a Flexo Flexo press. You can do a wash up in under 3 minutes if you need to change the actual ink colors. The ink colors themselves actually are controlled through the use of not just laying down a single ink, but actually a light and a dark ink, so you can actually control the color that's being laid onto the Flexo blanket, Flexo plate, and then ultimately onto the media. So the controls themselves have actually gotten better too, and a lot of different, whether it's BOPS or Mark Andy or any of the other or a lot of the other Flexo providers. Equipment providers, there is a lot of digitization going on. Offset is the same thing. We're seeing a significant increase in digitization in the offset process. You know, Heidelberg, they came out with their push to stop, and they've been working on digitizing their stuff for a while. But you know, they're making their plates online, they're doing their wash-ups online, they're monitoring the inks online, and the whole concept of push to stop basically means, look, once this thing starts, it's just going to keep going, and it's going to go and maintain consistency, and it's going to maintain its kind of, you know, first sheet to last sheet without having to sit there and have somebody constantly monitoring it. It's going to help monitor and continue to monitor itself. And we're seeing this in a lot of different offset presses. The Man Roland presses, the Komori packaging presses, the Koenig & Bauer presses, all of these presses have built in, they don't call them push to stop. They may have one thing, one type of automation over another type of automation, but at the end of the day, the end game is the same. How can we create a very quick, rapid, and consistent product turn or job turn as we're going through these systems? Because don't forget, a lot of these analog presses now, not only do they have to compete in quality with digital technology and digital presses, but they also have to deal with the market shift, as we talked about before. They have to deal with shorter runs. So this type of automation helps to drive and allow that to happen. Let's look a little bit at digital presses, because they're actually putting the pressure on. So if we look at label printing, which is actually where the digital presses started to really make their inroads in packaging, and a lot of that really was through a lot of the work that was done by HP and Zicon, for that matter. I think that that both of them were driving label printing, electrophotographic label printing early on. It's actually over 10 years now, I believe. But there are others coming into it as well. Konica Minolta is doing it as well. And you know, as you look at electrophotographic, they're in an interesting position as well. So just as the analog technology is trying to defend their turf, if you will, in the medium to long run space, and electrophotographic is great, but you know, you look at a flexo press can run at it can run up to 2,000 feet a minute, but they usually run between 100 and 300 feet a minute depending on the runs. Electrophotographic, you know, if it gets up to about 80, 85, was actually doing pretty good. So how do you then begin? It's great for the short runs, but how do you even begin to keep up with the life cycle of a product if all you can do is a short run, and then the mid-run size run's got to go off to a flexo press, and if you're a flexo converter, it becomes a problem because they want to be able to maintain that relationship through the entire product life cycle. So recently, HP announced a new technology and a press, or the first press with that new technology. The technology is called LEPX. And for those of you who follow some of my articles on what they think, I actually wrote a article, went out yesterday on what they think, on LEPX, and the V12 press. And I'm not gonna spend a lot of time on it other than to say that this press is right now can go up to, it's starting at 120 meters a minute, but the reality is that the technology, the LEPX technology, could conceivably hit 180 meters a minute. Now, 180 meters a minute, now we're starting, not only are we beginning to catch up to where some of the production inkjet is, we're actually starting to get into flexo territory. So this is going to be very interesting to watch. In terms of inkjet technology, I tried to focus it specifically in this case in folding cartons. The folding carton inkjet, again, going back down to it's really a matter of productivity. When you're talking about packaging quality is important, but productivity is king. It's cost and productivity. That's what packaging is built around. And while some of the stuff that's coming off of the digital, the inkjet machines is absolutely gorgeous to look at, it's hard at, even at 3,000 sheets an hour, to begin to compete with Flexo. But you're gonna start to see some very interesting things out there. We saw the Landa presses out there. They're running now fairly successfully at 6,000 sheets an hour, and we can expect at least a 50% increase, maybe a little bit more by next Drupa. Durst, KBA Durst, Koenig & Bauer Durst press is looking at probably about the same, roughly 6,000 sheets an hour. And then you've got some of the they're actually producing big sheets. They're running big B1 sheets. Fujifilm's got a great press. Their press is running at I think it's a B2 plus press, so it's a little smaller sheet size. And even Xerox with their iGen, there are people doing folding carton work. Granted, it's limited because of the size. There's only so big, so many, you know, you start folding a carton, it can get pretty big. So you really need that B1 and above. And that's really where we're going to start to see a lot of the new development in the digital technology, both in terms of the digital technology in Flexo and the digitization, but also in production inkjet. And you'll start to see a lot more of that. And again, we were hoping to see it now and very shortly at Drupa, but we'll have to wait until next Drupa. That doesn't mean we're not going to hear about it, though. And then there's corrugated. And again, I'm not going to go into corrugated a lot. I wrote a three series article on corrugated, and it's kind of everything you want to know about corrugated, again, on what they think. So please go read it. But here we are, and if we look at corrugated, and corrugated is usually a multi-step process. First, you have to make the corrugate, right? So you've got an upper layer, a lower layer, you've got the flute in the middle, and then we, any number of different ways, we decorate it, right? And you take a look at somebody like BHS, who can do this in one shift, twice as fast as pretty much anybody else can. It's hard to compete. But then again, it goes back to, well, what are we competing for? What part of the market are we talking about? Is it for the big brands? Is this to put the swish on an Amazon box, or is it to do something a little bit more decorative, a little more high color kinds of work? In the preprint corrugated preprint market, where we're actually printing the layer and then litho laminating it on top of the corrugate. Right now, these are probably two of the biggest players in the market. It's both HP and the Koenig & Bauer product. In the post-print market, which is where we're actually printing on corrugated, and that's where, again, where the BHS is, because they're printing it as part of the whole process. But in this case, these guys are just printing it on top of existing corrugated. So you've got HP C500, you've got the EFI Nozomi, and Koenig & Bauer's new Corrujet. And these guys are starting to really pick up that space. But again, even with that, they're only running it at best half the speed of what that BHS press was running. And the and these guys have to get the corrugated while the BHS is actually making it. So it's going to, it's not that there's not room for all of these different things, but there's different room in different places based on different applications. And that's really what packaging is about at this point. It's about, what is the application for this technology? How does this specific technology fit into that application, into that space? And now a word from our sponsors.
Right. Be sure to check out new innovations in packaging and labels from Heidelberg. Scalable solutions for finishing and converting include the Diana Go 85 for folder, capacity folders, and simple folding cartons, the Diana Easy 115 for a wide range of folding carton styles, as well as folders and capacity folders, and the Easy Matrix 106 die cutter for cutting, creasing, and embossing. The new FoilStar ProCure IML cold foil solution offers flexibility for adding cold foil on in-mold labels or paper. It features fast job changes and accurate registration, provides high quality cold foil adhesion, and improves smoothness of cold foil. And it's been proven to work with LED or mercury UV. Learn more at www.heidelberg.com. And now back to David.
Thank you, Richard. So, all right. So we looked at analog presses, and we said that right now, especially Flexo is king. They own the packaging market right now, at least for the most part. Especially in the mid-range and long-run job. And we looked at digital, which can get amazing quality, but right now, at least for the short term, maybe the mid-term, but for sure the short term, they're only getting into the short-run maybe a little bit of that mid-range run. So what happens then if you need what we can get in terms of mass customization in digital, and we want productivity that we can get in analog? And that's really where hybrid presses start to come into it and play into the role. And we're seeing a lot of that. Initially, we're seeing most of the hybrid presses doing work in the label space, whether it's the Mark Andy or Fujifilm, the Graphium, the Canon label stream. These are basically flexo presses that have inkjet units that are integrated into these units. They can be, the flexo units could be run with the inkjet unit on or off. So the flexo units can actually go up and run in excess of 200 feet a minute, not necessarily when they put the inkjet on. That actually starts to ratchet them down in terms of speed, depending on what other features for finishing are turned on, and also whether or not they have, for example, an opaque white, which still takes quite a while, or takes a little longer, I should say, to inject through, because it's such a thick and viscous ink. And then you've got this hybrid, this Uteco hybrid press, which is Uteco and with Kodak technology for inkjet. It's water-based inkjet technology. And they're actually doing flexible packaging. And this is one of the fastest kind of hybrid flexible packaging machines that are out there right now. And it can run, I saw it run actually at almost 200 meters a minute. And that's pretty impressive for printing on plastic and laminating and doing all the other things that need to happen to make it dry and make it be able to be used in flexible packaging. So you know, the hybrid presses in this case are bridging that divide between the analog and the digital technology and the advances and the features and functions of each of them. However, when we think about hybrid printing and hybrid technology, we have to go beyond just thinking about mixing inkjet and flexo. As a matter of fact, it's interesting because there are, I was involved with a company back in the late 90s, early 2000s. And what we were doing is they manufactured party goods, and they did the cups and napkins and all sorts of things. And they had what I saw in my mind was the first flexo press that I had ever seen that did pretty much everything. It did silkscreen, gravure, flexo. Didn't have inkjet at the time, so it didn't do inkjet. And then it had all the different finishing technologies aligned with it as well. And if you start thinking about it, that's in the mentality of how a lot of these converters think about what they do, how they treat the application of their technology to the end use. If we look at this, this is ABG International. And this is, so what ABG does on this machine, people think of it as just a finishing machine. It's not just a finishing machine. And it's got flexo, it's got silkscreen, it's got hot and cold foil stamping if you want it. It's modular, and you can basically build it to apply it to your ultimate end need. It'll take some of the new technologies too, some of the new embellishment technologies like the EcoLeaf from Actiga. So all of these different types of technologies now are starting to come together to build what is really, in my mind, the end game, whether it's defined as the end game or it's just what people do and it just happens to be what comes out at the other end. It is bespoke technology. It's basically, I need to build something to define the product itself that I am producing. For those of you who were lucky enough to make it to Label Expo in Belgium last year, you got a chance to see something that I found fascinating. And I think that it kind of put together a lot of what I've been talking about over the course of the last half hour. It's how do we take these different technologies and apply them to it, to the end game? What do we want to do? So in this case, HP got together with their HP, electrophotographic press, webbed press. This in this case is the 25K, which is one of the newer models. They have a laminator. They have and they have a pouch maker. So you could actually build an entire pouch factory that will fill flexible packaging. It'll print the flexible packaging. It'll make the flexible packaging, and it'll fill the flexible packaging for about $3 million. Think about that. We can now build an end use manufacturing line with digital technology. You are going to see more and more of this. I expect that's one of the things that we're going to see a lot of either before Drupa or for sure at Drupa. It's not just going to be this. And I know that HP has been doing this. They didn't call it a label factory, but basically that they've been doing kind of that same thing where they've been taking their presses, marrying them with different types of finishing equipment for a specific end use. And I think that that's really the future of where a lot of this is going, especially for packaging. Packaging is one of those things that is very creative. The package has to stand out on the shelf. So what kinds of technologies are allowing that to happen? Well, first of all, laser technology. SEI has been doing some amazing work with laser die cutting and decorating for quite a while now. And they're getting and beginning to reach some significant speeds. They can actually reach up to 100 meters a minute. So if you think about that, 100 meters a minute, and I can get die cutting, slitting, perfing, and I can put it in line or offline to my press. Their Packmaster does it for flexible packaging. It's a wider solution. Same kind of thing though, and it's got the same type of performance. That allows you to build these solutions that I was talking about before, these more bespoke kinds of things. If you're into boxes and corrugated, Hycon has the cut sheet die cutting solutions that will allow you to do exactly the same type of thing. So again, it allows you to move towards building those more complete solutions, whether offline, inline, etc. Embellishment itself is beginning to change. You know, we look at embellishment in the old days, and it was strictly a lot of hot foil. It was foil stamping, and we had to make a die, send it out. There was a lot of waste. There was a lot of expense. There was a lot of time. Landa introduced Skodex introduced obviously some amazing digital technology first. Landa introduced technology that didn't require foil, that basically just took ground up powdered nano powders and actually created an embossing, a leafing process. This is the EcoLeaf process in the lower left. Actiga is now working on something new. I'll be writing about that, and you'll be able to read about it next week in next week's article. That actually is a replacement for shrink sleeves. Because if you think about it, shrink sleeves also, we're making these sleeves. There's a tremendous amount of waste. There's a tremendous amount of additional steps to the process. How can we reduce the amount of steps in a process? How can we reduce the amount of waste and keep it into a, and make it a very sustainable process? And that's one of the things that Actiga has been working on. And as I said, I'll be writing about that. There'll be an article about that next Tuesday. Back to Richard.
All right, this webinar is co-sponsored by Kodak. Kodak Continuous Inkjet Solutions help you capitalize on the demand for quick turnaround, short runs, and customization. The Prosper 6000S is a simplex web press for 25.5-inch width folding cartons up to 24-point. It prints at 650 feet per minute at 600 by 900 DPI and integrates with Flexo Towers for pre-coat, special colors, or post-coat. The Uteco Sapphire Evo is the first digital solution for high-quality printing of flexible packaging at production speeds and helps printers meet the needs of brands seeking faster time to market and short runs while adding variable content for promotions, messaging, tracking, anti-counterfeiting, and e-commerce models. And the Prosper Plus imprinting system mounts on offset, flexo, and gravure presses or folder gluer lines and prints up to 2,000 feet per minute with a resolution up to 600 by 900 DPI. The 4.16 inch heads can be stitched for wider print widths. And for more information, visit www.kodak.com. And thanks to Kodak for helping sponsor this webinar. Back to you, David. I think it's question time.
It's question time. And I see a bunch of questions. So should I just grab them, Richard?
I can ask them. Do you see a move from larger post-print corrugated inkjet machines moving into cartons, possibly integrating finishing into a single pass machine?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, I think that, I see a move. You say a move from larger post-print corrugated to folding cartons. And I think actually I see the other way around. I see probably more of a move from folding cartons into post-print corrugated. That's not to say that you won't see it in both directions, but look, if we start to think about the reduction or the shorter runs, and we start to think about the fact that we're now moving more toward this online shopping or the BOPIS shopping, where things are going to be sent from rather than picked up in a store, they're going to be shipped to you. If they can reduce the expense of having primary and secondary packaging and have very pretty primary packaging and it's corrugated, why not? Do I think that they, in either case, do I think that they're going to move more towards kind of a more bespoke process where the printing and the finishing of these things will be more integrated? Absolutely. No doubt in my mind about it.
Investing in digital for folding cartons, does it mean automatically other finishing systems? Certainly when formats are smaller, it could be an issue.
I'm trying to read it. Hi, Martin. Performance is smaller, it can be an issue, but it gives life to the existing productive finishing already installed. Yeah, I mean, look, and this is, it's interesting. I think that if I were to look at, and I, Martin's question basically is, if in fact, I've already got a bunch of finishing equipment, I'm a converter, I've got a lot of finishing equipment, and now I'm going to put in a digital system which may have a smaller format. Do I do that? How do I make the most out of my existing converting equipment that I have? And it's a very legitimate question. It's interesting because I've seen it a lot in the conversion. From even digital to for analog to digital, commercial print, book production, etc. Yes, there's going to be a period of time where it makes sense, because obviously you've already paid for this equipment. Do you really want to continue to? But when you start to look at the efficiencies of having systems that are integrated, specifically if you are producing a machine that will are you producing a product that will allow for a consistent inline operation? Don't forget, a lot of service providers, converters, don't just produce one kind of product. They produce many different types of products. And in a case like that, putting in a consistent one solution that does everything may not make a lot of sense. So doing it offline and actually reusing some of the bigger equipment you have, even though you've got some digital equipment, makes perfect sense. But at some point in time, and or if you are, like in the case of the pouch factory that you just looked at, you know, does it really make sense not to do something like that where we could do it in a very efficient way? So I think that this is something that we as an industry will continue to wrestle with, just as we did in commercial print and book production, et cetera.
Okay. Key decision maker is the embellishment. They know how to do it in the traditional methods. What about digital embellishment? Now, you touched on that a little bit earlier.
Yeah, I mean, I think a digital embellishment is ripe for a change right now. And I think that if we look at some of that, you know, you've got the people who've been doing it for a while, like Skodix but now you're starting to see other players get into the market. And, you know, you take a look at some like Atiga, who is a huge global ink concern, and they've been spending a lot of time and a lot of money developing solutions around digital embellishment. And as I said, if you look at what they did by purchasing the technology from Landa for Ecoleaf, and you look at this new crystal technology that they've done that we'll be talking about next week, or that I'll be writing about next week, it's pretty impressive. And I think that we're going to see more and more of that. I think that as a population, and this is a global issue. This is not just a developed nation issue. People are beginning to become very concerned about sustainability and about the ecosystem, and they're going to continue to look for and push for solutions that will help protect the ecology of the planet and reduce energy waste and product waste. So I think all of that is going to play into it. So we're going to see much more of that.
I do not see a lot of installations of laser cutting in the industry. Most label converters have some digital printing equipment, but the die cutting is still done in an analog way. Can you elaborate why the adoption of laser die cut is so low?
Yeah, it's cost. I think that, with semi-rotary die, which is now becoming a kind of the more acceptable way to deal with short run hybrid and lays and even flexo kinds of label cutting. You can do it with a semi-rotary die. I think as we start to look at things like flexible packaging, we start looking at some of these other things, I think laser is going to be playing a bigger role. And we're starting to see more of it now. Part of it was also not the distribution of it, the awareness of it wasn't there, the speed wasn't there. But now that the speed is up to 100 meters a minute, I think we're going to start seeing more of it.
Not so much a question as a comment. If you're talking about EcoLeaf, this is the technology Actiga bought from Landa. Actiga, yep. Metal Print has brought the technology to the final level. Together with ABG, it will be brought to market.
Yes, that's true. Absolutely. That's one of the Actiga products that I was talking about. There is another one, which I'll be writing about next week.
Okay. How important is low migration now that more OEMs are shifting into the digital inkjet space?
Low migration. I think that aqueous-based inkjet is key, ultimately. If you are a converter and you don't have an aqueous-based solution, you have narrowed the range of work that you could do. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing if that's what you do. Look, if all you're doing is packaging up, you know, widgets, low migration is not as big of an issue. But if you want to start doing food, yeah, it's going to be a big issue. And if you start to think about what I had just said before with regard to the ecology and sustainability, the fact that you're dealing with these more, well, I guess I don't want to say toxic, but you're dealing with chemicals and after product that is going to potentially affect, and you're going to have to deal with it one way or another. So, you know, ultimately, is low migration important for food? It's not even important. It's a requirement.
Where are we with regard to mass adoption of LED inkjet among narrow web press OEMs? Is there a market demand for LED curing?
I think that there is undoubtedly a market for it. I think we're starting to see more and more of it. And why are we seeing more and more of it? Same reason as before. First of all, it is less expensive to operate. LED inkjet curing is a fraction of the energy use of conventional UV curing. So yeah, is there a demand? Absolutely. I think it's up to the manufacturers to help justify that. A lot of the, you know, again, Flexo equipment that's out there, people have a tendency to hold on to analog equipment because it's iron. That's what we call it, iron, usually, right? We go into a press room, we go, yeah, look at that heavy iron we got there. Well, it's the same with Flexo, and it's going to be there for a while. So that's why something, and again, this is not a commercial, but the reality is that's where something like the retrofit solution, luminous solution that Fujifilm is offering begins to make sense. There are a lot of people who are doing that. You know, it reminds me of, you know, the old 57 Chevy. You start changing out the engine and you know, putting on special carburetors and whatever. And the reality is that with Flexo, you can do that. And people do that. They do retrofit their existing machines. You know, you have to make a decision at some point, though. Is it, you know, is the cost of retrofitting going to be better than for me to just go out and buy a new machine? And, you know, I can't help you with that. Well, I can help you with that, but not here. I'd have to look at what you got.
Okay. Did you leave MGI off the digital embellishment slide for a reason?
No, I love MGI. They're good guys. It's my French buddies. No, I did not. It was, there's only so much room on a slide. And I absolutely believe that MGI has some great embellishment solutions, and I'm very much looking forward to some of the new stuff.
Hybrid currently. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, and you can read it. Go ahead, and then I'll answer it.
Hybrid currently means adding inkjet to an inline Flexo press. Is anyone adding inkjet to a CI press? Do you think this would be an attractive product?
Okay, so Chris, I disagree with you. This is from Chris Lynn. And Chris, I disagree with you. I don't believe that hybrid actually means adding inkjet to an inline Flexo press. I think that that's where some of the marketing that's out there now has been driving it. But to me, hybrid means putting stuff together, whether it is inkjet or it is silkscreen or it is electrophotographic or it is gravure, to ultimately come together with a solution, a final solution for a that meets the requirements of a final product. So, you passed by that, so I didn't get the. Wait, I'm going back. Hold on a second. So, do I think this would be an attractive product? Adding it to a CI press. I guess you could. I guess you could. It would have to be after the fact, I would think. I don't know how you'd fit a CI press, an inkjet unit into a CI press where it's everything's kind of already bulked up in there. But the guys who make these Flexo presses are very creative. And, you know, I look at what Uteco did with Kodak, I guess it's all possible. All right, Richard, what else you got?
Are printers too much focused on technology rather than thinking that digital printing will affect the processes and could offer much more than only pixel and personalization? You know, why must a digital printing device be run by and at a printer? Couldn't it be placed directly in the production of a product?
You hit it on the head, Andre. You hit it on the head. Yes. Are they too focused on technology rather than the process? Yes. Ultimately, it is the process. No matter what anybody tells you, it's about the process. It's about how am I going to get to the end game? which is one of the reasons why things like inkjet technologies make perfect sense to be integrated into manufacturing lines, which is where they already are beginning to see the light of day. So yes, and printers need to look at where they would be adding value rather than discounting it and giving it off to the manufacturer, who is basically just going to put a bunch of inkjet heads in line with their the line that they make baby food or whatever.
Do you foresee a sheet-fed B2 size inkjet printer will become a major player in short-run folding carton printing?
Yeah, I mean, to an extent. I think you've got two problems here with sheet-fed B2 size inkjet printers. First of all, the B2 size, as I mentioned before, which is okay. It's limiting. Are there cartons that will fit on a B2? Absolutely. Are there more cartons that will fit on a B1? Uh-huh. So you have that, and then you have the speed. So, you know, yeah, if we can get, you know, at 6,000 sheets an hour, you could begin to do it. At 3,000 sheets an hour, when I've got B1s at 6,000 sheets an hour, that's a hard sell.
All right, we're just about over time, but we've got one question left. Where are the hurdles for aqueous inkjet solutions?
Where are the hurdles? Oh God, that's a loaded question. I think it's well. First of all, it depends on the inkjet itself too. That's a hard question. I'm sorry, Andre. I'd be happy to take that one offline. But I've written so much on a variety of aqueous inkjet solutions, I couldn't possibly answer that all now. And 2 minutes or less.
Okay, one more. There was some talk in the European media that IPA and ethanol used in flexo inks and cleaning fluids are impairing supply due to the demands for these solvents in hand sanitizers for COVID-19. Do you hear of this becoming a concern in the U.S.?
It's hard. If there's a demand for solvents, yes, I agree that there's an increased need for hand sanitizers. You know, what's the long term on that? Couldn't answer it. If there is enough demand for both solvents for hand sanitizers and cleaning and flexo inks, somebody will make it. That's just the way it works.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for your questions and for attending. Next slide. Technology Outlook Week marches inexorably on.
Sorry. There you go.
Join us tomorrow at the same time. I'll be joined by Carrie Sherburn, and we will tag team a look at wide format signage and apparel. And we'll finish the whole shebang up on Friday with finishing, presented by Trish Witkowski. So if you've not already done so, you can register for either or both of these sessions at whatthethink.com/webinars. And just a reminder that the archive of this session, both slides and audio, will be available on our webinar site by the end of today. As I have been pushing all week, next slide please, we have an updated special report out. We've updated our original Printing Outlook 2020 report, which we had originally released back in January, which may as well be the Middle Ages. And since I've updated it with new data on the impact of the COVID-19 crisis on the industry, and our best guess as to how it's going to impact the economy at large and by the end of 2020 and beyond. So to get your copy, go to store.whatthethink.com. And it just remains for me to thank David Zwang for presenting today's session. Thanks to Fujifilm, Heidelberg, and Kodak for sponsoring this webinar. And thank all of you for attending. Again, stay safe, and we'll hopefully see you back here again tomorrow. And enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you, David.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you, everybody.